How's everyone doing? You're listening to A Father Heard. This is a show that focuses on faith, family, and wellness. This is your host, Marcus, and I'm glad you have decided to join me on today. It is September 20th, 2021. It's actually my dad's birthday today, and I want to give a shout out to my father for the many years that he has had on this earth, the example that he has been not only to myself as a father, but to many others, and who he has been as a man, as a husband, as a brother, a son. He's just been an incredible inspiration to me. And you guys have heard me talk to him before, a few years back. And so I'm actually going to go ahead and just replay that for you all. And you guys are probably wondering, well, why are you replaying this particular episode with your father? And I'm replaying it because he's just an incredibly humble and insightful person that I've had the pleasure of knowing for 46 years of my life. And there's so much wisdom that can be taken from the relationship that I have with him. And, you know, last week I had talked about, you know, digging into the family's legacy and looking back and understanding where we come from. And so this is an individual that I know exactly where I come from. And my children are having the benefit of knowing where they come from just by being connected to my father. And so I just want to just re-release this for you all so that you can hear it again. And I hope that you're blessed by it. And y'all take care. How's everyone doing? You're listening to A Father Heard, a show that focuses on faith, family, and wellness. This is your host, Marcus, and I'm glad that you have decided to join me on this Labor Day 2019. And so this is the third part of the Family Life series. And so if you guys recall, I first interviewed my children, and then last week I spoke with my spouse over at Black Mom Diaries. So if you haven't had an opportunity to take a listen to that, go ahead and do so. You'll be blessed with it. And this week, I'm going to go ahead and talk to someone that is super special and super important to me, which is my father, Ronald, or Ron. I feel weird just saying his name because he's just dad to me. And so I've got my dad here with me today on this third installment of the Family Life series. And so I had come across some interview questions from Brendan Burchard. Hopefully I'm not messing up the name. I'd say probably 2 years ago online, he had posted something about interviewing those people that you love. And so I'm blessed to still have my father in my life. And so I just wanted to sit down and just have a discussion with him and be able to capture some of his thoughts on life and thinking about, you know, him growing up and him being a father and just the important aspects of who he is. I know faith is also important to him. And, you know, I'm giving him an introduction, but if you know me, then you already know my dad, because my dad was my first teacher. And so a lot of who I am has come from him, and there's just the example that he set for me. And so with no further ado, I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this. Well, actually, I'll let him say something before we get started. Same thing you want to say to the people?
I just want to say, how's everybody doing on this Labor Day weekend? Hope you're having fun and just enjoy life as it comes to you.
Okay, and so my dad is also a soft talker like I am, and so I'm going to, we're going to make sure that we turn up the volume so that you guys can hear us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what comes from this. And so we'll go ahead and we'll jump right into it. And so, just like my dad, I hail from the sparkling city by the bay. That's what they call it down in South Texas, Corpus Christi. And so when you think about the sparkling city by the bay, your hometown, what comes to mind, like when you were growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, I liked to do a lot of fishing. You know, fishing come to mind. And just having fun with my family and friends. Mostly just enjoying the beaches when I did go down there.
And what kind of fish can, if people don't know about South Texas and fishing, what kind of fishing can people do down that way?
Oh, well, they got redfish, they got bass, they got sheepheads, they got black drum. There's a variety of fishing that you can get, but I suggest that you, if you ever come to South Texas, is try the black drum, it's pretty good.
Okay, so try to get some black drum. And so fishing is not something that I learned from my dad. So I think about the last fishing trip that we took. My wife made this bet that if I caught some fish, she would actually eat. And at the time, she wasn't eating any meat at all. And guess what? I caught that fish, and so she had to eat it. But I wasn't killing any fish or anything like that. And so my dad did the gross part. And my mom, she made sure that it tastes good for us. And so that's not one of the things that I picked up from my dad, but I definitely picked up a lot of things from him, you know, as I was growing up. So what were some of the things that you liked to do, you know, as a kid besides fishing? You said that you, you know, would run around with your friends and things like that.
Well, here's the thing about, I can think back on Thanksgiving days when we used to go and play football at the parks. You play basketball. And try to run some track, but I was too slow to catch the fast people.
Okay.
But most of the time it was football and basketball.
Football and basketball. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are some of the things that you remember about high school?
Well, some of the things I remember about high school is that when I went to a predominantly black high school, and they didn't really have all the finer things that kids have today, but yet the teachers, they was really helpful in all things that we did, especially one of the health coaches we had. His name was John Clay, and he's always trying to push us forward to do things better than what we was doing, and he kept us on our toes.
Okay, so you were, when your school was still segregated at that time?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I guess when you think back about your teen years and growing up, what do you most remember about your mom?
Well, my mom, she's a single mom, and she always worked real hard to make sure that we had everything that we needed. She worked three jobs, and I remember us as kids going to the bus stop and to meet her and pick up the groceries and then carry it back home to us. And she always made sure that we had food to eat and clothes on our back and to have a place over our head.
Okay. And so she being a single mom, there were a lot of things that she taught you. So where did you learn to become a man?
Well, I watched my dad when he was around. And I looked at him and made up my mind that I don't want to be like him, because he was abusive. He drank a lot. He was a womanizer. And every time I think about that I grew up in a violent home, you know, had domestic violence. And I said that I don't want that for my kids when I grow up. So I purpose in my mind that I'm gonna be different from what I've seen. And people always said that your environment or your culture dictates who you are. But I refuse to believe that. And I just took it on my own that when I have kids, I'm gonna be a different person and try to instill values into my kids and to love them and to teach them the best I know how.
Okay. So what are some of the values that you that you possess? Like, if you had to pick your core values, what would those be?
My first core values, I think, would be true to yourself. You know, be who you was made to be. And you know, don't let anybody dictate or try to tell you that you can't do this or you can't do that. But, you know, you can limit your own self. So I think my first core value is to be who I was made to be.
Okay, and who would you say that is?
I am, well, right now I'm quiet and kind of observe, but I always keep in mind that I'm a person, I would say, of integrity, and a person that loves his family, and a person that wants to strive to be the best he can be.
Okay. And so, kind of stepping back to thinking about, you know, your mom and your dad, what do you think the messages that they had for you and your siblings?
Well, I can speak for my mom. My mom, she was always wanted us to be better than what she was. And she taught us right from wrong. She taught us how to save. She taught us how to be, I'll say, independent. Mm-hmm. And for my father, I really can't say much about him because he never was around. But when he was around, it was always something negative that he would bring up, and then that would cause arguments and stuff like that.
Okay. And so, thinking about him not being around, what do you think was the biggest impact on your life? So you said that you made up your mind that you weren't going to bring that sort of thing to your own home. And that's definitely something that I can attest to, because if anyone knows me and they've heard me speak before, I can absolutely say that I am legacy of not seeing violence happen in my home. Like, I've never heard my dad call my mom outside of her name. I've never heard her call him outside of his name. These are truly two people who love each other and have exemplified to me what a marriage is supposed to look like. And so I'm deeply grateful for that. So with that said, thinking about the impact that your dad had on you, what would you say?
That's a kind of a hard question, because the impact that he had on me wasn't good. I would say it wasn't good, because when I saw him, he was either one of two things. He was either drunk or he wanted to fight. And because of that, I kind of just shut down and drew back.
So you shut down and drew back?
Yeah.
Like, could you explain that more for those that are listening?
Well, I just keep things in and really didn't show any kind of emotions. I just held it in. And I guess that's how I am today, that you know, I see things and I just hold things in and try to weigh things out and try to put everything into perspective.
Okay. And so it seems like you've been able to use that as a benefit for your life. Do you feel like there were times when, say, holding it in, because we know it's not good to bottle in our emotions, and as men, that's something that we tend to do a lot of. And so, you know, do you think there have been times when you didn't emote the way that you needed to and it came out in a negative way?
Yeah, I would say so. Because I remember one time that he spanked me for no reason at all. And I told him that make that the last time he put his hands on me, because I'm not going to take no spanking for what something that I didn't do. Mm-hmm. And his response was, you know, I brought you in this world and then I take you out. And then I just step back and let it go at that.
How old were you at that time?
About 10 or 11.
or 10 or 11.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw him, you know, I saw him all the time arguing and fighting with my mom, and that really bothered me a lot. And we didn't, and because of who he was, no, we really didn't have that close relationship.
How do you think not having that closeness of relationship with him impacted you?
Well, as I look back, you know, he really wasn't a positive role model, and we didn't spend the time, you know, he didn't teach me how to throw a baseball or how to throw a football or the things that fathers do with their kids, like they take them out and they teach them how to do things that only a man should know how to do. But I never did have that, and that's why when it came to you and your brother, even though I was in the military, and when I wasn't there, when I did come back, I was always there trying to have some kind of impact in your life.
Definitely. I can think of lots of times of you being around, and one of the things that sticks out most in my mind is like my dad did this thing called the golden thumb, and he would just take it and like jab it into my side and like tickle me or whatever. And that's something that I brought into my own relationship with my son, and with my daughter as well. Just, it's so important for dads to be present and to connect with our children, because, you know, they need us as much as we need them. And there's a give and take, you know, in relationship. And so, I mean, I'm truly blessed to have children, and I hope that they feel blessed to be in my presence as well. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about, like, marriage and stuff like that. So how did you meet my mom?
I met your mom when I was in the military. She was in Brooklyn, New York, and I was stationed in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And a real close friend of mine, he invited me to go down to New York with him because his girlfriend, which is my wife's sister, told him not to come back unless he brought somebody for her sister.
Okay, he needed a wingman.
Yeah, so to speak. And so we talked a couple times on the phone, and then finally went down there and met her. And when I saw her, I knew within myself that she's the one that I wanted.
So you knew right away.
Right, I knew right away. It wasn't no long drawn out courtship thing like that. I just knew right away that she was the one for me.
Okay. And so how long have you guys been married?
We have been married 47 years.
Okay. And if I asked her the same question, would she say 47 years as well?
She probably won't know.
I'm going to tell her you said that as soon as we get done with this. Okay. And so how did you choose your career path? You said you were in the military.
Well, I started off as a supply tech in the military, and then from there, I got reclassified into artillery, and that's where I went from supply all the way up into artillery. And prior to that, when I was at home at Corpus, there wasn't really much jobs going on, and I didn't want to be there just sitting there not doing anything. So I said, well, I guess I'll go in the military. And that's how I decided to go in there.
Okay, so you weren't drafted at all. You made the choice to go in.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I know you served two tours in Vietnam.
Yes, two tours.
So did two tours in Vietnam. And so I'm grateful for your service. When you think back, and we've never really had this conversation before. So when you think back to that time period, what do you think the impact was, you know, coming back, either for you or on our country?
Well, when I got back, it seemed it wasn't the same, because after coming from a place of war and then come to a place of peace, the people was different. And most of the Vietnam vets really wasn't received. And even to the day, some of them is still fighting, trying to get what they needed, what they need from the government for all the service and for all the service that they had and all the complications that are going on in their lives, the mental and physical. And it seems like it's a fight to get what you need from the government after everything that you have invested in that war. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you'll get a thank you for your service. You know, we appreciate it, but that's good, but it's really not what the military, what the veteran is looking for. They want to be, accepted in society. Because I don't think that the veterans are really, really accepted. And because you can look at the homeless, and many of them are veterans. And I've talked to quite a few, and they're out there because of the system, and they don't want any part or anything to do with the system. Even though there's places that they can go for medical help and things like that, but they just don't have anything because they feel that the government have let them down.
Yeah, we definitely can look around and see, you know, so many homeless people that are vets out there, and it's kind of unfortunate. And you know, some are dealing with, you know, mental health issues and things of that nature. Like, I can't imagine what, whether it's Vietnam or it was, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq or any of those places, I can't imagine what it would be like for someone to be in a war zone and have to always be on the alert and not sure, you know, what's going to happen, or losing friends or things of that nature, and then have to come back and reacclimate into our society and still have, you know, I guess the trauma associated with that, and then be expected to come back and, you know, contribute in society. And I think there are a lot of people that can do that. But there definitely are those that, you know, that continue to struggle with it. And so I'm sure Vietnam was probably one of the, biggest impacts on your life.
Yeah.
What would you say are maybe two other impacts that you've had, like big impacts on your life?
Good impact or bad impact?
Mm-hmm. Either or, that have, like, you know, well, that have shaped your life.
Well, I would say when I met your mom, that was a big impact. That was a big impact, and she still have an impact in my life today, because she's everything that I ever wanted in a woman. And you know, I've dated quite a few girls in my time. And they just didn't stack up, because I can think back at a time when we first got married, when you was a little boy, when you was a little baby, and we was going through hard times, you know. And I remember we was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and our money was tight, and we had to pinch to get food and to pay rent and stuff like that. And that went on for 6 months, and she stood right by my side. No matter what, she stood right by my side. And many times I wondered to myself, no, why is she still here with me? And I'm going through this. And that really let me see the type of woman that I married. And I'm thankful for that. That she stayed with me, even through the hard times, as well with the good times. That is a great impact on my life.
Yeah.
And the second impact on my, and another impact on my life was when I received Christ as my Savior. That was the biggest impact, I think, of all, because I knew where I was going was going to lead to a destruction. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drink pretty heavy. And I done little drugs every now and then, nothing hardcore. But after I met Christ, that just changed completely. And I haven't had anything like that, such as drugs or alcohol, in my life for a long, long, long time. And just to think about it, it was a blessing that He came into my life. And he's still impacting me today.
Mm-hmm. And I can remember growing up and seeing like the Bacardi bottles and things like that, and even like the Crown Royal, little Crown Royal bags. I would keep my marbles in them and things like that. But I remember, when you moved to Germany from Kentucky, and there was a distinct shift, in you, like all of that stuff. You immediately started going to church, and our family, once we joined you in Germany, like we ended up going to church as well. And I don't remember going to church all that much when I was younger, maybe just to, the holidays or something like that. But, there was that shift where, like I said, when you got to Germany, it was like we were there Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, the typical, black church experience, yeah, where you there from Sunday morning till Sunday night and that sort of thing. But I'm definitely grateful that, you came to faith and I remember at that point, like, there was no more alcohol in the home. And I don't remember, seeing any negative impacts of you drinking alcohol, like, when I was younger. But I am grateful that like I said, that you came to faith and that Christ has been a part of your life. And, that idea of training up a child in the way that they should go, so that as they get older, they won't forget. And so that's something that definitely has had an impact on my life as well. And thinking about, like you mentioned, kind of the struggles with alcohol and substances, do you think that stemmed from, like, your relationship with your dad, or was it a part of Vietnam, or a combination of that?
Well, I think it was a combination of both, from what I seen my dad do, and then also in Vietnam. You do what you can to relax yourself, to relieve all the stress and tension that you go through. And alcohol and the drugs were sort of an outlet to soothe me. Mm-hmm.
And so, if we don't have those healthy coping mechanisms, to release those feelings that we're dealing with, then we tend to find ways to nurture those that aren't necessarily healthy for us in the long run. And so, I know you got your degree in substance abuse counseling not too long ago. And so if you were to speak to someone that was struggling with substances, what would you say to them?
My advice to them is, first of all, is to acknowledge that you have a problem with whatever type of substance it is, and then that there is hope, and that hope is in Christ Jesus. And many people who are on drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, it have been implanted in their minds that that's who they is. But drugs and alcohol does not define who you are. You define who you are. You can accept what the status quo say, or you can go within yourself and find out, hey, this is not me. This is not who I want to be. And once you find out that this is not who you want to be, then you can make that step to deliver, to get help to be delivered from that. And because I never did go to an AA meeting or anything like that, because when I accepted Christ, all of that went away at one time. Just immediately went away. I had no desire for it. I didn't have no taste for it or anything. It just left instantly. And I believe that Christ is the only way for anyone to be delivered from anything that it is addicted to.
Yeah, there's bondage that's associated with that, and through faith, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I think there are times when people will continue to struggle with certain things, and they may need to utilize the support systems, that are provided, through those types of meetings and whatnot. And so, if you're struggling with anything, whether it's, addiction to substances or, domestic violence or sexual assault or anything like that, definitely do the things that you need to do to take care of yourself. Most definitely. So we'll talk a little bit about parenting. So what do you remember most about, I'm the oldest, so when I was born, what do you remember most about that time period?
Frightening. I can say it's frightening, because parenting, it does not come with an owner's manual, book of instructions. It's like a trial and error type of thing. And with you, you had your days and nights mixed up. And so I took the night watch while your mom took the day watch. And we always kept you close to me. Whenever I would lay down and you lay down, I would always place you on my chest to keep you close to me. And parenting, like I say, it don't come with any instruction, anything like that. You just got to go for it, and it's trial and error. But in doing the things that you do for a child, well, then you learn. If you make a mistake, you learn not to do that no more. And I had a lot of those not to do no more. But I just, took it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, took you in, fed you, bathe you, and dress you, and just did what I thought that I needed to do.
And where do you think you learned that?
I think I learned that from my mom.
From your mom?
Yeah. Yeah. Because she was a nurse's assistant at the children's hospital. And she was always telling us what she did and how to do it. So I just followed that.
Okay, so you had the mom's influence to kind of guide you through that. And I think, like, I'm going to show my age, but I was born in the mid-70s. And so that's a time period where, some people believe that men weren't necessarily doing things like that, taking care of kids and only there to provide. But there are lots of men throughout history that have been a part of raising their children and being there right alongside the mom to participate in that. And so, don't let people get it twisted and make you think that, men aren't out here doing their jobs, because, granted, there are some that are not doing what they need to do, but the majority of us are right there in the thick of it, making sure that we're a part of our children's lives. And that's something that I can speak to, because I do lots of groups with men and one-on-ones and things like that. And I get to hear all the time how men are impacting their children.
Yeah, men has a very important role in their children's lives. And if there's not a man in a child's life, I think they'll be subject to the environment and subject to their culture and subject to all types of things. But it takes a special person, or I'll say a special man or a special young man, to identify who he is. And if he identify who he is, he won't make the mistake of the trap of being caught by his environment, being caught by his culture. Mm-hmm. Because he'll look beyond all of that and strive for excellence.
And so he's got to have a role model to look after.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the idea of discipleship. I heard someone say before that discipleship is always happening. And so depending on who you're around, you're either going to be discipled to do well in life, or you're going to be discipled to not do well. And so as fathers and as men, it's important to make sure that we have the right people around us that can push us and help us grow and not be stagnant in life, because, you know, life can be challenging and it's easy to just get stuck and be stagnant and think about, you know, the situation that you might not be, or excuse me, the situation that you might be in not being the way that you desire for it to happen. But, you know, when you surround yourself with people that are like-minded and moving in the right direction, I mean, that discipleship and mentorship is so important to your growth and to the people that are around you.
That's very true. You need to have someone that's very positive to make a positive impact in your life. And so many young men don't have that positive role model, but they have that negative role model that's there to steer them in a way that they shouldn't go. But I would say that whoever that young man is should stop and think, is this what I was made for? Is this what it's going to be beneficial for me and my life? And if I have a family, is it going to be beneficial for me and my family? And if it's not going to be beneficial, then you need to walk away from it. And, you know, you might say that's hard to do, but it may be easier to say what you think it all. Because I could have let my father influence me, and that wasn't a hard choice for me. It was an easy choice for me, because I know that that's not what I wanted.
And so if you're struggling, you know, trying to find out who you are, you know, figure out where you can go, figure out who you can connect to, because it's important to, you know, to dig into your identity and purpose and, you know, question some of your beliefs and things of that nature. And just don't allow life to just push us in the direction that it desires for us to go. But really be intentional in the steps that you're taking to move in the direction that you desire to go. And there's always, you know, help out there. And so, you know, if you can always reach out to me, you can leave a message on this podcast. You can email me at afatherheard@gmail.com. You know, or reach out to your local area. You know, there are men's groups that are doing lots of things. They seem to be popping up a lot more now, but, you know, there's always places out there where we can get the guidance that we need to have. And so we're getting ready to wrap it up, but I wanted to see if my dad had one last word for us.
Well, my last word will be, is to be true to yourself. Recognize who you are and strive for excellence.
So be true to yourself, recognize who you are, and strive for excellence. And I just want to say thank you for, you know, allowing me to have your time, not just for this, you know, 40 minutes or so, but just for the lifetime that I've had with you. And you've always been present. And I'm grateful for that, because I see the impact on a daily of individuals who have not had their fathers in their lives, or their dads were there and they weren't present, or they were present and they weren't positive role models. And so I just thank you for being a great father, and I love you very much, and I'm greatly appreciative to God for the family that I have been blessed with.
Thank you, and I love you, my son.
I love you too. And so you guys have been listening to A Father Heard. Thank you for joining in. Feel free to subscribe, to like, to share, to let people know what's going on, because this is a space where we have a desire to put out positive information. There's enough negativity out in the world. And so we just want to share from a place of authenticity, a place of, you know, of truth and non-judgment and education, and just uplifting our world. And so I thank you for your time, and you guys, I'll see you on the other side.